Title: Parallel Drum Crunch from Scratch for Jungle Rollers Advanced. Alright, welcome back. In this lesson, we're building Parallel Drum Crunch from Scratch in Ableton Live, specifically for Jungle Rollers. The goal is really specific. You want drums that feel fast, gritty, and glued together, but you do not want to sacrifice that transient snap that makes a roller bounce. So here's the big idea. We're going to keep a clean drum bus that stays punchy and clear. Then we'll build a separate crunch bus that's heavily processed, and we'll blend it in underneath. That crunch layer is where we'll get density, mid-range aggression, and that old-school bite, without flattening the main drums. By the end, you'll have a drum group with a clean path, a crunch parallel path, and optionally a second, more extreme smash path for special moments. And I'll show you how to automate it like a DJ tool, so your arrangement evolves every 16 bars instead of feeling like a static loop. Let's start with the source, because parallel processing only sounds as good as what you feed it. Step 0, prep your drum material for a roller. You can do this with a classic break like the Amen, Think, Hot Pants, whatever you like, chopped in simpler or sampler. Or you can do a more modern approach, a two-step kit, kick and snare, with breaktops layered for movement. For a roll-friendly starting point, kick on 1 and 3, snare on 2 and 4, hats or shuffles on 1/16s with some swing, and then if you're layering breaktops, filter them so they're mostly mid and high movement, not extra low end. If you're using a break loop, get the warp right, make it tight to the bar lines. Beats mode is usually a great starting point, because you can preserve transients. Complex Pro is often overkill for breaks and can smear the attack, which is the opposite of what we want at 170+ BPM. Now step 1. Create the routing. Group your drums into a group track called Drums. Inside that group, create an audio track named Crunch Parallel. Now choose how you want to feed it. There are two main approaches. One is direct output routing, where individual drum tracks set their audio to directly to Crunch Parallel. That's super controlled and great if you want per track decisions. The other is the classic return track send method, where you create a return called crunch and use send knobs from your drum channels. Here's the advanced teacher take. If you want quick blending and simplicity, returns are great. If you want to sidechain, eck, resample and do more surgical control, a dedicated crunch audio track is often more flexible. We're going to treat crunch parallel like a return style layer, either way. One important routing note: you'll often avoid sending the subby kick into crunch. In drum and bass, low end is sacred. Crunching sub turns into mud, weird limiter behavior, and a low end that stops rolling. So feed your break, your hats, your snare, maybe your percussion, and keep the true sub kick mostly clean. Step 2. Build the crunch device chain, stock Ableton, roller approved. We'll do this in a specific order because order matters. Think of it like cooking. You season before you sear, and you taste at the end. First device, EQ8, pre-shaping. This is where you decide what the distortion will care about. Distortion reacts to what you feed it, so if you feed it sub, it will distort sub. And that's how mixes fall apart. So start with a high pass around 120 to 180 Hz, and use a steeper slope like 24 dB per octave. That's your protection filter. If it feels boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 400 Hz. If you want more bite going into saturation, add a gentle boost around 1.5 to 3 kHz. The mindset here is zones, not full spectrum. A good jungle parallel layer is mostly mid-density, roughly 300 Hz to 3 kHz, plus controlled presence from 3 to 8 kHz. Everything else is basically rent you don't want to pay. Second device, saturator for the main grit. Set it to analog clip. Drive somewhere around +6 to +12 dB as a starting range. Turn soft clip on. Turn color on and try emphasizing in the 1 to 3 kHz area. Now here's a super important mixing habit. Trim the output. Every time you add drive, you're adding loudness, and loudness tricks your brain into thinking it's better. So match the level so you're judging tone, not volume. When you solo this crunch track, it should sound obviously gritty. But when you blend it, it shouldn't turn into fizzy paper. If you're getting that cheap, crispy texture, it usually means you've got too much high-end hitting the saturator, or you need to low-pass later, or both. Third device, drum bus. This is glue and attitude. In parallel, you can push it harder than you would on the main drum bus. Try drive around 5 to 25%, crunch around 10 to 35%, boom, keep it at 0 to 15%, and honestly, most of the time I'd leave boom off on the crunch layer. Boom can fight your clean kick and mess with the low-end story. Now transients. This is where you can recover snap if the distortion dulled the front edge. For rollers, Try Transience Plus 5 up to plus 20 if you need a tack back. If you want the brakes to feel more chewed and vintage, go slightly negative. That chewed vibe can be amazing, but don't let it kill the groove. Fourth device, glue compressor. This is the everything moves together pressure that makes jungle feel like a rolling wall, not separate hits. Start with ratio 4 to 1. Attack between 0.3 milliseconds and 3 milliseconds. Release on auto or try 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Lower the threshold until you're getting around 5 to 12 dB of gain reduction. Yes, that's a lot. And that's why we're doing it in parallel. Turn soft clip on and glue compressor 2. It helps keep peaks controlled and gives a pseudo clipper vibe when combined with saturator. Teacher note, attack time is your transient steering wheel. If the snare suddenly loses crack, your attack is too fast. If it's too spiky and not glued, your attack might be too slow. Move it while listening to the snare, not while staring at the meter. Optional fifth stage, transient and frequency shaping. Ableton doesn't have a simple stock transient shaper, but you can do a few powerful things here. One is multi-band dynamics, not as a fixer, but as a design tool. Try keeping the low band barely compressed, or even slightly expanded, because we don't want the crunch breathing the sub-region. Compress the mid-band more aggressively for that rolled sheet density. Keep the high band gentler so hats don't turn into constant white noise. If hats disappear, you can even use a touch of upward expansion on the high band, but be careful. At 170 to 175 BPM, harshness accumulates fast. Now step 3. Post-EQ to make room for the clean bus. Add another EQ8 after compression. This is where you mix the crunch tones so it sits under the clean drums instead of replacing them. Do another low cut, maybe 150 to 220 Hz, to tighten mud. If it hisses, dip around 6 to 9 kHz. If you want that old-school break bark, boost somewhere between 700 Hz and 2 kHz. Remember, this parallel channel should be mid-forward. If it's full range, it will hijack your entire mix the second you turn it up. Now, an extra coach move right here. Put a limiter at the very end of the crunch chain, not to make it louder. This is a safety ceiling. Set it so on the loudest hits you're only getting like 1 to 3 dB of limiting. Now when you automate crunch for fills and lifts, you won't suddenly throw surprise peaks into your drum bus or master. Step 4. Blending. This is the make or break moment. Pull the crunch fader all the way down. Play the track in context, ideally with bass, because bass will change what you think too much crunch is. Slowly raise the crunch until you feel the drums get thicker and more urgent. Then back off slightly. Here's your reality check. Mute the crunch. The drums should feel smaller and less exciting. Unmute it, and the drums should feel more forward and more together, without sounding like the main drum tone is distorted. Unless you want hardcore obvious distortion, but that should be a conscious aesthetic choice, not an accident. A typical blend might land anywhere from 18 dB down to 8 dB down versus the clean drums, but don't lock onto numbers. Use your ears and keep a slash B-ing. And when you a slash B, do it at matched loudness. If the overall drum level gets louder when crunch is on, your brain will vote on every time, even if it's worse. So sometimes nudge the crunch fader a touch while toggling so the total level stays similar, then judge tone and motion. Step 5. Keep the kick and sub clean. If your kick has real weight around 40 to 80 Hz, do not let that get chewed up in the crunch path. Either don't send the kick at all, or high pass the crunch even higher, like 180 to 250 Hz, depending on how clean your low end needs to be. This is how you preserve that rolling, confident low end instead of turning the drop into wobble mud. Step 6. Sidechain the crunch, not the clean. This is a modern roller trick that keeps aggression without masking the bass movement. On the crunch parallel track, add a compressor or another glue compressor and sidechain it to your kick, or sometimes to your bass if the bass is the priority. Start with ratio 2 to 1 or 4 to 1, attack 1 to 10 milliseconds, release 50 to 120 milliseconds. You're only aiming for 1 to 4 dB of ducking, just enough that the crunch breathes out of the way and the groove feels like it's inhaling and exhaling around the low end. Step 7. Automation. This is where it becomes musical. Treat the crunch like a DJ tool, not a static effect. Try a pre-drop lift. In the last two bars before the drop, push the crunch up 2 to 5 dB. Then at the drop, you can do a sick contrast move. Pull the crunch down for the first beat, then slam it back in. That makes the return feel like impact even if the levels are controlled. Automate saturator drive up 2 to 6 dB just on a snare fill. That's instant excitement. Or automate an auto filter at the end of the chain. High pass from 80 up to 200 into the drop to clear out low buildup, or low pass down to 6 to 10 kHC for underwater tension. Another arrangement upgrade, due tone morphs, not just volume. For one 16 bar block, keep the crunch slightly darker by lowering the low pass. Next 16, open it a bit and add a touch more drive. Then later, compress the mids more but darken the top again. That's progression without rewriting your drum pattern. Now, extra advanced coach notes you really should not skip. Phase and latency sanity check. Parallel chains can hollow out your snare if latency or phase interaction gets weird, especially if you duplicated tracks or used devices with oversampling or look ahead. In Ableton, keep delay compensation on. Then do a quick test. Put a utility on the clean drum bus, and hit phase invert left and right while the crunch is playing. If the groove changes wildly, you've got meaningful phase interaction. Fix options. Keep the crunch chain mostly minimum latency, devices. Avoid heavy oversampling modes, or do micro-alignment using track delay on the crunch channel. Nudge by a tiny amount until the snare regains weight. And if you like the smear, that's fine too. Just decide intentionally. Another pro workflow habit. Use a calibration loop. Don't dial your crunch on a sparse intro. Loop one bar of the densest section. Busy hats and ghost snares included. If it works there, it works everywhere. If it only works in the intro, the drop will turn into harsh chaos later. Optional advanced variations. If you want to go further, you can split your parallel into two, a bark bus and a sand bus. Bark focuses on snare and break mids. High pass around 150 to 250, low pass around 8 to 10k, heavier compression, moderate distortion. Sand focuses on upper mids and highs. High pass around 600 to 1k, low pass around 12k, lighter compression, more saturation. Blend bark for body, sand for forward texture without wrecking transients. This audio version is shortened for playback.